6. We've been there for a number of weeks as we think of spiritual warfare and the armor of God. I'm going to begin reading Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Amen. Your family, to meet with you. God, there's no one like you. Your word is so clear, there are no other gods. The foolishness of a block of wood or a mute stone, as we study and find from Habakkuk, reminders again. And yet it's so easy to try and trust in ourselves, in religion, in our good deeds, in whatever, in people, only to be disappointed again and again and again. But hallelujah, you are God. And thank you for the reality as eyes are opened. And that comes not on our own, but by your Holy Spirit, to enable us to see the world the way you see it. Lord God, help us to see it more clearly that way. So much going on, Father. Yes, the needs in America. Father, inflation. Prejudice. Divisions politically, racially. There are a lot of problems, Father. We can't begin to share them all. But Lord, seeing things heating up on the world scene. Drones sent from Iran to Israel. That's a first. That's a major step. The U.S. sending warships over there to protect Israel. From what I understand, the drones basically been shot down. I don't know if any hit. But Lord God, even just the attack, and that being voiced in America by some of our leaders who are sharing with so many here, there must be terrorist cells just waiting. Another 9/11, Father? Something greater? Could we think of that? What's going on? And it's not that you want us to be afraid, but it's to be mindful, Father. You've told us in your word that things will come to a head in your time. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is coming back. Forgive us when we don't live in light of that. But once again, it's your time. You know when it will be. But Father, things that are heating up all around us. I repeat myself when I say it's an exciting time to be alive. There's so much going on. But you are still on the throne and you reign. Thank you for the songs we just sang. Thank you for the reality that, yes, it's as simple as only trust him. Father, as we're going through Ephesians, we'll be getting to faith and the shield of faith this morning. But Father, to recognize that trusting needs to spring from a reminder of how lost we are. And it's too easy to look at ourselves wrongfully and to see ourselves as better than we are. We're all sinners, Father. We all fall short of your glory, of your standards, of your ethics. And yet to remember again that Jesus Christ specifically came into the world to save sinners. Thank you for the cross. keep the cross in front of us. The blood of Jesus Christ shed as payment for sin. Thank you, Lord God. May we never forget the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifice that paid in full, that satisfied the holy, righteous judgment of our holy God who cannot look at sin, as we are told. Thank you that he looks at sinners and he receives sinners who trust in the death of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for this morning. You know our needs, Father. Once again, there are respiratory ailments, that are running around, Father, the countryside and in our church family, a number not able to be here today. We miss them. Thank you for bringing some of our travelers back safely to us. Thank you for visitors here this morning. Thank you for each one that is here, Father. Whether we planned it or not, we're here in accordance with you've got a plan for each one of us. And I thank you for that. Thank you for our 10 students away in colleges. A small church with 10 away, plus loved ones. And we pray for them as they finish up now over the next 3 weeks or so and bring them back to us. Their places in the front up here are missed. Help them to be disciplined. Keep them strong. Keep them safe, Father. Keep them growing in you, we pray, even as they worship elsewhere this morning. But here now, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be free to move in our midst. Lord, we don't want to play church. We can't play religion. But with a relationship with you, speak to us, I ask. Help us to see ourselves more clearly because we see you more clearly. May we have a meeting with you. May we want and desire your Holy Spirit to work within us and then through us. So we commit this time to you. We do pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for those who serve under him. We pray, Lord God, for the churches across the land that still preach your word. A lot of churches, a lot of religion, more and more people not going to any. But Lord God, thank you that you are still in the business of saving sinners and drawing people to yourself. And thank you that you would use us. And here in the adult Sunday school class, we talked about that some this morning as we step out of our comfort zones. Father, it should be so very supernatural, naturally, because of what you're doing in our lives, to long for that for others and to share it. Hear now, God, as we continue our worship this morning, move among us. May you be pleased, Father, as we come, I pray, in sincerity and truth with hearts that love you and want to thank you and praise you. And then, Lord, have your way with us here and throughout this day, I pray. Also for any who are not yet born again or sure of where they're at, Lord God, draw them. Draw them to Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Father, the arrows have been flying for a long time. Martin Luther, in his great hymn, called the devil our ancient foe. And here we see his first great, quote-unquote, work among mankind. The lie and the fracture that it brought as mankind gave into it and did the thing which you had commanded them not to do. And still, those of us who have come to you by faith have to contend with this enemy, with the lies that are hurled at us, with the accusations that are rightly sometimes brought against us. We have an enemy with whom we have to reckon. And thank you today that we're going to hear about the shield that you've provided, the shield of faith. What a bold proclamation that it can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It takes faith to believe that faith can do that. And so we would ask today that you would build our faith through the word that is proclaimed. Help Pastor John, we ask, Lord, Thank you for his faithfulness and his commitment to your truth, his desire to make it known to other people so that they can be more like Jesus. And we ask that you be with him today in the preaching of your word. We ask also that you be with us in the hearing of it, the faithful among us to be built up in our faith, and any who are with us that aren't yours to be drawn to Christ, who can make them strong and make them his. Father, we would ask now in the giving of our tithes and offerings that you would be with us. We worked on this building yesterday. You've given us a place that is visible among the community, where believers can gather and people can drive by and wonder what's happening and maybe come in themselves. Those who are rightfully looking for a church home, those who've never heard the gospel before, I've heard it and never yet believed. Thank you that this is a place where people can gather to hear the gospel and where work can be done that builds up your kingdom. And part of what happens today when we give our offerings is to support a place like this where you can be honored and glorified. So help us to give gladly, we ask, and be with us throughout this service. We ask that you would bring glory to yourself, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you once again. As we continue this morning, thank you for your Holy Spirit continuing to work within us. And I believe to us individually. Thank you for mercy. We don't receive what we deserve. Thank you for grace. For truly we receive so much that we don't deserve. Lord, you are so good. Thank you for equipping us as we would look to you and lean upon you. So for your Holy Spirit now to open up that word, thank you. And for hearts and minds to be able to listen, help us to do our part. And then, Spirit of God, speak to our hearts, I ask. Help us to see Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. I ask you a question this morning as we begin. Does your faith work? Does your faith, does it work? Not with reference to salvation. The Bible is very clear. We cannot work for our salvation. It is not of works, lest anyone would boast, Ephesians 2, the start of 8, 9, and then 10, where the gospel is clearly put forth. But I remind you, when life is tough, unpredictable, it happens. When you're blown away and not sure where to turn, how's your faith then? Do you have faith then? Does that faith work for you? Does it calm you? Does it give you peace? Thank you for the offertory this morning. That's an arrangement I have not heard. That was special. If I can say this, even beyond the musical abilities and the words, is the reality when one is able to truly say in the midst of storms that it is well with my soul. When life is giving way and I don't know where to turn, yet it is well with my soul. I remind you, everyone has faith. Every time you go into a restaurant, I don't know of any of you here who go into a restaurant and have someone taste the food for you first, just in case it's poisoned. We have faith to believe it's not poisoned. Remember Nehemiah. His specific job was to taste the drink before the king to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And some of us have heard of the poisonings that have gone on in Russia, but also around the world. But we have faith to just sit down and eat, I believe. We all have faith. But I remind you, it's not just faith in faith, it's the object of your faith that is so important. Where do you put your trust? Where is your faith? That's what matters. It needs to be faith in the true God, the God of the Bible, the God who has revealed himself to us through creation and through his word. It needs to be there. But then it also needs to be on His terms. You don't bargain with God. I will if... No, no. We bow the knee and we surrender. Faith in the true God on His terms. Jesus made it difficult. He wasn't looking for a popular Christianity. He wasn't looking for where the masses might come. But He drove them away. Surrender everything. I am Lord. I am Lord. You bow the knee. Give up your loved ones. Give up your funds, your dreams, your hopes. If necessary, surrender to Me and follow Me. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not make it easy. Praise God that as we find our faith tested, or perhaps it's our supposed faith tested, because we give way, we cower, we fear, we tremble, or even worse than that. What happens? Again, God has provided equipment. God, who saves His children, loves us enough that He provides for us for whatever comes our way. And nothing catches Him by surprise. It catches us by surprise, but nothing catches Him. And so He delivers. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul is coming to the end of this letter to the church at Ephesus, and we started at the beginning months ago, we find now that again He has given us an armor to put on, provision and armor to put on. And so we've looked at it over the last few weeks. A picture of a Roman soldier. And again, Paul is writing one of the prison epistles guarded by Roman soldiers. He knew what their armor looked like. This would be a typical armament for a soldier. And we talked about the belt of truth, that which ties around the waist and holds everything else in place. You can gird up if you've got a long robe or something so that you don't trip over it. Gird it up in the belt. It would hold things together. And for the soldier, it would definitely hold that which was required for him as a Roman soldier to be safe in battle and to face battle. The belt of truth. And we saw there with truth there were two parts. And for each of these components, a subjective and an objective. Again, we saw there is truth, absolute truth. In a world that denies that there is absolute truth. Hey, that may be true for you, but it's not for me. God says this is true for everyone. And we have His Word. His Word that we are to rely upon. And you will not grow as a Christian. You cannot be a Christian unless you are willing to come to His Word. And again, God, this is from You. What do You have for me? He works through His Word. But we saw also then that that truth, that belt of righteousness there, or excuse me, the belt of truth, needs to be lived out in our lives, not with hypocrisy, but with a sense of reality. I profess to be a Christian, I need to live as a Christian. I profess to be in relationship with You, I should be able to talk to You and pray. God, You're so good to me. Really? I need to tell others. Again, there's the belt of truth. Then there was the breastplate of righteousness. And once again, we saw two parts to it. Righteousness imputed to us throughout the Bible refers to as justification. The moment you become a Christian, and it's not like some people have told me, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. You didn't always exist either. You weren't always born. And most of us, I think all of us, we cannot remember when we were born. I don't remember coming out of my mother's womb. But I do know that I'm alive. I feel pain. I feel hunger, not right now. But I have feelings, emotions, etc. There's life within me. But the reality is, in the same way you're born physically, Jesus said, hey, don't be shocked when I tell you you must be born again. You must be. Otherwise, you're not in My family. You must be saved, born again. You must have your sins forgiven. And when you call upon Jesus and repent of your sins, the Bible says the righteousness of Jesus, because we don't have any, is imputed. It's placed on our account so that our sins are paid in full. We don't have to pay for them ourselves. For the Bible is clear, the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death, separation from God, damnation for all eternity. Nothing less, but everything within that. And the fact that that could be there for me should cause me to be very, very concerned, even to tremble in fear. But when you're born again, God equips you with a breastplate of righteousness. Again, righteousness imputed to us. And subjectively, as we live out, we're to live righteously by the grace and power and strength of God. And then it was last week when we looked at our feet, and I should move us on here, the breastplate of righteousness, and then we looked at our feet, and not what most of us wear normally, but we looked at here the footwear of the Roman soldier. And the scripture again spoke of shod with, shoes with, the gospel of peace. And we saw again two parts to peace. There was first peace with God. As a sinner, we are separated from God. We're not part of his family. He isn't God of everyone in that sense. He's the creator God of everyone. But he's only Father God of those who are his children. And you become his child by being born again. Then we have peace with God. We're reconciled to God. We've been justified. And we're in his family. First, you have peace with God. And then the other side of the coin we saw was the peace of God. That peace that Jesus said, my peace I give. Not as the world gives, because the world can't give it. Not as the world gives, but my peace. And it's a peace that, again, is to be there in the midst of storm. The sting of death is gone, the Bible says, for the Christian. When I have faith to believe what God says, that I am bound for eternity, I need not fear death. I need not fear Iran bombarding Israel with drones. I need not fear. What does that mean? Is the world going to fall apart? How do you dare you have another baby to grow up in this world? No. Fear, peace from God. Peace from God. And continue to have babies and raise them for Jesus Christ. That's the word of God and the way a Christian responds as God works within the individual couples. Again, peace. But peace with God, leading to peace of God. And then again, something for us to do with those shoes, the proper footwear, is to go out with the gospel of peace and to share with others. I love the song of Don Francisco that he wrote. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody. Or Paul who said, woe is me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I've got to. Because souls all around me are lost. Souls within my home are lost. My spouse is lost. My kids are lost. My parents are lost. The ones I work with and play with, unless they are born again. How can I not tell them when I understand this is the answer, the only answer? They too must, like me, be born again. So that's where we've been with the armament. Notice in your Bible, I trust they're open, I trust you're looking at them. Notice here how the first three items begin with having. Having. Verse 14, having girded your loins with truth. Also, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, having shod your feet. Having this, you are equipped. Those three items a Roman soldier always had on. Always had on. He was ready. He was ready. He knew what was at stake. But the next three we're going to look at, it's a different terminology that's used here. In addition, verse 16, in addition to all, taking up. We're going to take up the shield here in a few moments, but you find the same thing in verse 17. And take up the helmet and the sword. Take the sword, take the helmet. We'll come to that as God allows us to over the next few weeks. So we've got a difference here that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, has written in order to make sure that we see what's going on. Here, to be ready for battle, we already are dressed. Belt, breastplate, feet, but now we take up the shield. Notice with me here this morning, the need for armor, first of all. The need for armor. Why do we need it? There is real spiritual warfare. I don't want to exaggerate this. I don't want to try and scare you with that. But I'm afraid too many Christians are not aware of it and do not live in light of it. And that's one of my concerns. I'm fearful the average Christian lives totally unaware of this reality. And we've seen over the last few weeks, or I stated the fact, Life down here on earth is a battleground. It's not a playground. I'm thankful for the opportunity to play. I love to play games. I'm competitive by nature, and I love to play, and most of you know sports. I love to play. I like to play board games. I don't do it so much anymore. I need someone to play with, and so forth. Don't always have the time either. But again, it's a battleground. Always on guard, even in the midst of our play, to be aware of what's going on. We live our lives apart from all awareness of who we are and where we are here on planet Earth. The opposition is real. The world system, the culture in which we live, fights against Christianity. The political system is fighting more and more against Christianity. But we also have this evil one referred to in our text this morning, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. He is real. He's powerful. We've seen that. He's persistent. He is crafty. The occult world is real. Magic, black magic, witchcraft, sorcery, necromancy, black arts, devil worship, voodoo, hoodoo. I had not seen the word hoodoo before. Philadelphia, Germantown Highway, Germantown Road, whatever it is. There's a hoodoo shop down there. It's an offshoot of voodoo, I found out as I looked into it there. Mysticism, it goes on and on. There are things out there, as well as just the reality of temptations that come our way. 1 John 5:19, John writes, "We know." We know. I love those words of John. Again, with reference to assurance of salvation, it's not that I hope I'm going to be saved. I'd like to think so. But these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He writes that in his gospel. God wants you to have that assurance. But in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God. And the whole world, we are of God. Believers are Christians. We are of God. But the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. In the power of the evil one. He's out there. He is real. And we need to know it. Consequently, we are to be wrestling. And we looked at that, not against flesh and blood, but against the principality, etc. Against Lucifer, against the temptations that come. We wrestle. It's hand-to-hand intensity. But I remind you, as we fight from the position that we're already victorious. Christ has won. Christ has defeated Satan. He's allowed him freedom for now to do his thing. But even the devil himself, and perhaps that's why things are intensifying in many areas, because he knows his time is running out. And he will do all he can to keep you, if you're not born again, from becoming a Christian. And if you are a Christian, he will do all he can to keep you from being involved in the work of Christ and doing what God has created you as a Christian to be involved in doing. So we wrestle. Paul's language here in the text and elsewhere speaks of extreme danger. Beware, pay attention. There's real spiritual warfare. And the attacks are personal and very real too. Here in our text, it speaks of the flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows. Again, flaming arrows were arrows in which they were dipped in pitch and then lit. Tar, something that would burn and then put on fire. I love the old Wild West. I love the old cowboy shows. I loved growing up. Again, when I came back from Norway, again, my bike, which was not just a 24-incher or 26-incher, it was a 30-inch bike. It was a German bike I bought in Norway and shipped over here when I was 8 years old. It came over here. Remember, I couldn't sit on the seat and pedal. The bike was so high, I had to stand the pedal and then sit down the rest. And to get on it, I have to lean up against the fence to climb on it. But that's beside the point. But that was my horse. That was my horse in New York City on Staten Island as I was growing up. I loved the old cowboy shows. And you remember the covered wagons and how they moved out. And then when opposition was coming, circle the wagons. And remember the opposition? Flaming arrows. Boom! Put that canvas on fire. The flaming, sharp-pointed arrows that would set on fire, that would kill, wound, whatever. Again, we have those coming at us. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter writes, "Be of sober spirit. Be alert. Be of sober spirit. Your adversary, your opponent, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's looking for someone. Where's your weak spot? Do you have your armor on? Are you ready for the fight? Are you ready? If not, watch out. He will do all he can to bring you down. And yet Jesus is for us. Jesus is for you. If you're a child of his, he is for you. The battle intensifies. He's on your side. Again, in John 17, 15, Jesus said, as he prays to his Father, just before going to the cross, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. I confess there are times I say, Lord, take me out of here. Time to go home, isn't it? And I'm still here, so I guess not. But there are times I just, enough is enough already. But no, I don't ask to take them out until it's the proper time. But keep them, protect them from the evil one and from what he wants to do. And he has prepared the equipment we've seen here with reference to the armor of God. The need for armor because the battle is real. The temptations and the struggles are real. The tests that God brings into your life are real. And they become very personal because they know where the weak spots are in your life, the things that concern you. It may be your children. It may be your health. Maybe your job. It may be whatever. But they know. And the attacks come real and personal. Therefore, we look here now at the shield. The shield. The Roman soldiers had two types of shields. The Clypeus was a small shield. You see it here. About 2 feet in diameter. It was for easy maneuvering, used by light infantry, archers. They were secured to the arm with straps to hold it on, and you could move it around as needed as you saw the incoming fire coming your way. The second shield that they had was the scutum, is what it was called. It was a large shield, 4.5 by 2.5 feet. Here's two pictures of them, sometimes curved at the end or on the sides in order, again, to protect you and to help you there. It would protect the whole body as you could hide behind it and plant it in the ground and get behind it. And it was made from two pieces of wood glued together, wrapped with linen, and then a leather cover, animal hides, and bound with iron, some sort of strong metal, above and below, again, to keep it secure and to protect you. You would soak it in water to put out the flaming arrows, which were not deflected. If they stuck into the wood and so forth, again, with flames, soaked in water to protect you there. They could also be locked together. This is called the Roman turtle. You see him here. You lock shields together, and you can behind it. You can even put them over your head. And once again, so that things from above would not hit you. And it would protect them. It was called the Roman turtle. Testudo, a wall of defense, again, held there to protect you from the opposition and what they had. Two types of shields we're looking at here this morning. But what we are seeing is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Saving faith is a gift from God. Saving faith comes in response to the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every true Christian gets saved the same way. Again, saved the same way, by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That faith is a gift from God. It's God's gift to you as he gives you faith, as you look to him, as the Spirit of God works within you and draws you to himself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, faith comes, but it must be acted upon by you for salvation. The scripture is clear. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, I'm convicted of my sin. Jesus, I can't save myself. Jesus, I will be condemned to hell. Jesus, you died in my place and took my penalty. Jesus, save me. If you please, it is that simple. But it involves everything. The mind understanding some basic facts we've touched on. The heart and the emotions can be stirred, and we're all different emotionally. But more than anything, it's your volition. I give up. I quit trying to save myself, trying to be good enough because I can't be. I surrender to you. Jesus, save me. Come in and save me now. Yes, as God speaks to you, His invitation is open to come and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That type of faith cannot be conjured up. You can't work on it to get yourself, I'm going to believe. It comes from the inside, God's gift to you. It's not positive thinking. It's not faith in your faith. It's a gift from Him. Jesus, save me. I surrender. But there's more. There's more. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. But the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. Faith is the key to salvation, but it's also the key to living, to live victoriously and productively for Christ and his kingdom. And so we talk about saving faith as a gift from God, but if you please, living faith is your gift to God. Think about that. Saving faith comes from Him. It's a gift to you. I call upon Him. I have to act. But then living faith is my gift back to Him. The shield of faith, grammatically it's called the genitive of apposition. All that means is the shield equals faith. Faith is the shield and shield is the faith. They're one and the same. John Payton, he was missionary. Excuse me a moment. I don't think it's cold in here anymore. I'm getting hot. But anyway, John Payton, a missionary from 1824, he lived and died in 1907. He was a Scottish pioneer missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. He was translating this new language, the Bible into this new language, I should say. And he was struggling because that language did not have a word for faith. A language that doesn't have a word for faith, how do you come up with a word then? What do you do? Well, one day as he was struggling with it, a native running hard, panting, comes running into the house, plops down in a chair and said, "It is good to rest my whole weight on this chair. It is good to rest my whole weight on this chair. It is good to rest my whole weight and to sit down on this chair." And he said, "That's it." That's what faith is. It's resting my whole weight, not on a chair, but on God. Everything needed for salvation. It's God, I have nothing else. I'm going to rest totally. You've said it. You've done it. I'm going to believe it and take hold of it. Living faith. It is choosing to trust God. Faith is choosing to trust God. Excuse me. Israel, My Glory, I've been getting this Jewish Messianic magazine for years. You can see the Roman soldiers down front here. Nathan, you can see it. Micah. And Dominic, as he looks up, can see it also. It's right here. He's busy writing. He takes notes. In here, there's a definition of faith. I grew up learning about faith. You kids can spell faith. It's F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I grew up with that. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. In the magazine, they gave me another way to spell faith. F-A-I-T-H. But favorable actions issuing through head and heart belief in God. Favorable actions. How do I respond when life gives way, when the storms are there, when trials, when things that I don't understand, when it hurts, and the tears are there, and I get discouraged? How do I respond? Favorable actions. I'm going to trust in God. Hold it. I've got a shield, the shield of faith. I take faith and I choose to trust God. Favorable actions issuing through head and heart. Head, because I understand some basics, God's word as to who God is. His promises, what He said, what I'm supposed to do. Favorable actions issuing through head and heart, my gut, my emotions, my belief as I turn them over to Him. It is laying hold of God's resources for you as you step into that relationship because you are a child of God's, because you are born again. I trust in His promises due to the character behind the one who makes those promises. He is truth. He says, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hold on to what He has to say because of who is saying it. What has He said? He says once again, resist him, the devil. Firm in your faith, knowing the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Others have been there. Others have experienced what you're going through. In our bulletin, Adoniram Judson, another pioneer missionary. If I had not felt certain, listen carefully, read it. If I had not felt certain that every trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, remember the basics? God loves me. God is totally sovereign. Nothing happens except He brings it or allows it to happen in my life. And it's always for my good and for His glory. If I had not felt certain that every trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated sufferings. Read his biography and you'll find what it was to suffer and what it can be for us to suffer for Christ. Or John Piper, more modern for most of us. The deepest need that you and I have in weakness and adversity is not quick relief. Really? Get rid of the headache, Lord. Get rid of the problem person in my life. Get rid of this. You fill in the blank. He says, John Piper, it's not God. The deepest need that you and I have in weakness and adversity is not quick relief, but the well-grounded confidence, I'll call it faith, the well-grounded confidence that what is happening to us is part of the greatest purpose of God. God, you are that concerned about me and you allow or bring because it's for my good and for your glory? Shield of faith. I choose to believe that based on you and your word, and your promises, and what you've said to me. Promises? I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. I'm with you in that car accident. I'm with you as you got the letter from the boss. You've been terminated. What are we going to do about my bills? I'm with you. My grace is sufficient for you. You've said it. Am I going to believe it? Shield of faith. God help me. My emotions are churning. They're running in many directions. Shield of faith. God work in me and allow me to see what you have for me here. Lonely? How can I be lonely? You're with me. You're with me. Hopeless? No. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've said that. You are that. Again, guilty? Guilty of... You didn't know what I did this week. God, you do know. Oh, no. If I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. As a boy, little girl, adult, old man, whatever. God, you said. Shield of faith. I choose to believe. This is from you. You're in control. Trust in God's provision for victory over temptations, flaming arrows that are coming at me, lies, blasphemies, truths, doubts shot at you, tongues of others. And Satan can use your best friends if they're not careful to say things they shouldn't say. Filthy thoughts, hateful thoughts, pride, selfish desires, fears, distrust, the shield of faith. Again, God has given it to us. The shield of faith. Wait a second. The shield of faith. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Wow, that's quite a verse. What is it? Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is tested. He, God, every word of God. He is a shield for those who take refuge in Him. God, you're my shield. Shield of faith. Wow. Wow. I go Gaither-ish. So why should I worry or fret? Oh God, forgive me for worrying or fretting. Or meditating we call worrying. God, forgive me. No, it still hurts. I'm still not sure how I'm going to get out of this situation. But you're with me. And if God be for us, who or what could be against us? We are more than conquerors through him. He said so. He said so. Even when the world says, you're a loser. And yeah, it looks that way right now. My health, my job, finances, people, whatever. But God, you're with me and I'm a child of the King. The shield of faith, even God himself. There's one other side to this faith. Corporate faith is also available from God. Remember the turtle, the Roman turtle? Side by side, we all have our shields. Okay, 4.5 feet. Is that what it was? Okay. And we're behind it, and we lock them together. And over our heads, in case they're above us, and especially nowadays with drones and everything else above us, what's there next? It's not just a bird. They can do enough damage. But that's another story. But again, protection. 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 God does not plan for us to live individual, private Christian lives. We're part of the family of God, the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons why a local church is so important to become a member of, and a brother and sister in Christ together. Again, one of the strategies of victory is divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. The critters in the jungle, as they're escaping, the lions, the tigers, or whatever. The straggler, the one who's out behind, he's pounced on and he's taken. The individual believer is so much more vulnerable. That's why God wants us to come together, to encourage one another, to pray with one another, to pray for one another, to share testimonies of what God has showed me this week. Don't make it a big thing. It doesn't have to be something that's never happened to anyone else in the world. You won't be there. It's just, I was a little discouraged this week, and I read this verse. And God just used it to lift me up as I realized the shield of faith. To encourage one another. Again, corporate faith. Knitted together in love, our faith shields help with a wall of defense. Part of what God has for us. Yes, once again we find choices in front of us. We've been going through Hebrews Sunday nights. We'll be back there tonight with a final warning. It gets serious here at the end of Hebrews. But there's a final warning, but we've seen the choices. And some of you recall from what was it, last week or the week before, my mind goes blank sometimes. But remembering there, we were looking at the two mounts, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Mount Sinai, don't get too close to the mountain. When the Ten Commandments were given, Moses going up. Put boundaries out there, not an animal, not a person. Don't touch. Don't touch, you'll be struck dead. Don't touch. Don't get too close to God. And the fear and the trembling, even Moses, we looked at that, fear and trembling. Mount Zion, hey. Come, come, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Come, you've heard me tell you, you're as close to God as you want to be. God wants you close. How close do you want to be? Yes, to understand. But the intimacy of a Christ relationship that God extends to us, Mount Zion, it's there for you. It's there for you. Get to know him, love him, trust him, live for him, serve him, and so forth. Yes. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Listen. Therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Your choice, my choice. Are you going to choose to believe? It's up to you. It's up to me. I can believe God's word and rejoice in what he has for me and have the shield of faith that I need not be afraid of whatever or whoever. Or I can, no, I'll take it on my own like a man and get knocked down and fall apart. God knows. Choices that he gives to us. God has given a true faith. It's a faith that works. If you are saved, you have his gift. And now it's up to you to live it out. Does your faith work? What kind of a faith do you have when the storms of life hit you? Let us pray. Father, again, your word speaks to where we're at. There's not a one of us here who is able to comprehend and understand, who can examine himself. What kind of faith do I have? Who am I trusting in? Is it your faith, God, or faith in you? And is it according to your standards? And what happens when life goes south? Sour. How do I respond? Lord, there's not a one of us here who has it 100% altogether. But thank you for those who have taken hold of not only salvation, but are learning to go through life, allowing you, as we've seen in Hebrews as well, to discipline us where needed. That is the negative side of discipling as we often think of it. But if you allow or bring into our life things that are negative, how good to know that you love us so much that you're willing to put us to the test. I think of Abraham with Isaac. Now I know. Well, he knew. We wanted Abraham to know that he trusted God enough that he was willing to take his son's life. As Scripture reminds us, because he believed, the shield of faith, in order to fulfill your promises, God, through Isaac, Isaac would have to be alive. And if he was killed, you would have to raise him from the dead. Wow! Oh, Lord, help our faith to be in you, to be biblical faith, and help us to live it out and to make use of it with the shield of faith you've given to each one of your own children. Father, for any here who are not saved or not sure, even now may they look within and turn to you. Speak to someone afterwards. Speak to you most of all. I pray this too in Jesus' name. Amen.